Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. New claims for unemployment compensation and continuing claims both go down more than expected, and the Bank of England keeps a key interest rate at 0.5%. New legislation has been introduced to increase funding to battle breast cancer. Republicans are expected to argue against the spending, but Democrats are likely to see that as just, well, tit for tat. Take a guess on how much banks made on overdraft fees in 2008. $24 million? Not even close. Senator John Ensign of Nevada, who admitted to having an affair with a staff member's wife, and even David Letterman didn't do that, now stands accused of steering business to that staff member when the staff member became a lobbyist and advocating for the lobbyist's clients. Ensign says he did everything, quote, by the book, close quote. Unfortunately, the book was the Kama Sutra. The French culture minister, Frédéric Mitterrand, has defended film director Roman Polanski with regard to charges that he had sex with an underage female a number of years ago in the United States. Mitterrand is now being criticized himself for his earlier account of sex with a male prostitute in the country of Thailand, where the capital is Bangkok. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, welcome to Speaking of Everything with Jeff Bushman. That would be me. Actually, that would be I, and later this evening, if we have time, we're going to introduce a new section of the program, a new department, if you will, called How to Talk English Good Like Me. And hopefully you'll find that interesting. We also have News of the Weird, or Weird News, and we have a guest coming up in about 28 minutes. Michelle Glicksman is the editor of Scottsdale Health Magazine, and we'll be talking about magazines generally, distribution of magazines, writing, and publishing, and whatever else comes up during that time. And of course, we also invite your calls, both before and during Michelle's appearance. If you wish to join us, you can reach us at area code 347-994-3796. And repeating that for those of you who write slowly, 347-994-3796. If you're joining us for the first time, first, what took you so long? Secondly, welcome. And the show is called Speaking of Everything, and the reason for that, as the title would suggest, is that there's very little that we don't cover. We don't cover certain kinds of music. We do like to talk about jazz, and one week we, in fact, did that at great length. We could listen to you talk about classical music, since though I enjoy it, I wouldn't call myself an aficionado in that area. Country and Western, hard rock, probably you want a different show. The items we covered, I want to come back to those, but first I wanted to also mention a couple of other things. One is we are sponsored by Blog Talk Wizardry, which oddly enough is my company. And if you have a website or you know someone who has a business website and you or they do not blog, you're missing a very good bet in terms of increasing your position in relevant searches on search engines, as well as engaging your customers and bringing in more business without sending them annoying email newsletters. If you think you might be interested in having that done very inexpensively, go to the website where you can read about that. It's jeffonblogging, one word, .blogspot.com. Repeating, jeffonblogging.blogspot.com. I wanted to tell you about a couple of those things that we did talk about in the news, and then we have some other things to cover as well. I also want to tell you about an interesting website you might find useful. No, not useful. A great way to waste some time and have a little fun. We'll cover that in a moment as well. The claims for unemployment. This, by the way, tells us very little about the economy. The claims for unemployment, both new and continuing, went down. They were expected to go down, but they both went down more than expected. Many people think of that as good news about the economy. The truth is, as many of you know, unemployment is what's called a lagging indicator. It only improves, or more correctly, employment improves, when the economy is already recovered. It takes the reduction in unemployment takes place after the economy is in good shape. So this is a good sign, but it's not necessarily the sign that the recession is ending. Someone said today on the news that it's probably not the end of the recession, but maybe it's the beginning of the end. There are other things that may be the beginning of the end of the recession, but that's not it. Unemployment claims and unemployment percentages will bounce up and down as time goes forward until we have fuller production. At that point, employment will increase. I invited you at the beginning to take a guess on how much banks made, how much they took in on overdraft fees in 2008, which is obviously the last full year for which there are numbers. And I mentioned the number 24 million as not being close, and it's not. They made more than that. They didn't make 10 times that, no. That would be 240 million. What they made last year on overdraft fees was $24 billion. People like to add when they say things like that. That's with a B. Yeah, great. As opposed to $24 billion with a Q. You know. But nonetheless, $24 billion was, I hesitate to use the word earned, but brought in by banks for overdraft fees. You need to know that that's not just for bounced checks. None of us should bounce checks. We should all keep track of what we have in our accounts, and we should also not put on our debit card an amount that would exceed the balance we have in our accounts. But some people do, and the banks charge varying fees, but those fees have been increasing in terms of a per sin, if you will, charge. So I think now for a bounce check, most banks charge somewhere around $35 and probably the same amount for a debit that causes you to exceed the amount that's in your account. Some people I know don't even keep track of what's in their checking account. They just use the debit card. The ones that I know who do that have never had a problem with going over, they say, but some people undoubtedly have. One person I know who has had a problem said that the charge occurred because of the debiting with his debit card. And when he went to the bank and said, well, why did you honor the debit if I didn't have enough money in the account? And they said, well, because that's what we do. And when you signed on for the account with a debit card, you agreed to that. Well, when you sign on for the debit card, obviously you're not reading every word. And he didn't. I didn't when I signed up. I haven't had a problem with that. But the fact is that everybody signs the same boilerplate language, and it's a way for banks to earn more money. Congress is looking at this and theoretically may require the banks to make some changes with regard to that. Among other things, the assertion by some members of Congress, is that the charges which banks are imposing is almost completely unrelated to what the costs are for them to process these overdrafts. And also, clearly, they could just deny the debit in the example I gave. You wouldn't be able to get the item you're trying to purchase with your debit card, but at the same time, you wouldn't be paying $30, $35 for the bounced or would-be bounced debit. So that's something that's going on, and clearly you can contact your member of Congress to complain about that if you wish to. I want to tell you about the time-wasting website. Before I do that, let me give out the number again. 347-994-3796. We are with you until 9 o'clock Pacific time and 11 o'clock Eastern. And sometime in between that, Central and other areas of the Mountain Time Zone. The time-wasting website I wanted to tell you about, which is not a criticism, I've wasted time on there myself and have actually enjoyed parts of it, is a website called Omegle.com, O-M-E-G-L-E.com. And what happens on Omegle is you go there and you basically start a conversation with someone. It's typed. You're both typing, or keyboarding as the expression now goes. There are usually people who get to the site the same time you do, and you engage in a conversation. And I must warn you, some of it is odd. Some of it is people trying to prey on others and are a little on the peculiar or even perverted side. But sometimes you can actually have some nice conversations. I've had that occur a couple of times. I've quote-unquote spoken to people that way in China, Canada, Southern California. I don't remember where else. I haven't been on the site in a while. But it's something you may find interesting. You may end up in and out of several short conversations and then have a longer conversation with someone. It's just fun. You may enjoy that, or you may find it deadly dull and think, why did he recommend that? But when you have nothing else to do, that's something you might find interesting. Wanted to talk about healthcare a little bit, not about healthcare reform, healthcare financing reform, as it's more properly called, but about health. We spoke briefly last week, and for those of you who weren't here, I'll mention it again. We mentioned about means of preventing flu without the necessity of taking flu shots. And flu shots can be dangerous. There's always a small percentage of people who have side effects from flu shots, usually not the flu. You can't get the flu from the flu shot. But what you can get, there is a disease called Guillain-Barré. I could tell you how to spell Barré, but I can't remember how to spell Guillain, and I don't speak French, so I can't fake it. But Barré is B-A-R-R-E. And this side effect, which some people get from flu shots, causes paralysis. Some of you will remember Andy Griffith, the actor, and I say remember, he's still active, but he hasn't done a lot of work recently. But he was Matlock, and long before that, he was Andy Taylor on the Andy Griffith Show. He played the father to Ron Howard, who is now himself around my age, middle-aged, and he's balding. In any event, but he played Opie in that series. Andy Griffith got a flu shot and was paralyzed by Guillain-Barré disease and was out of commission, couldn't work, for almost 2 years. That's unlikely to happen to you if you get a flu shot, but it is possible. It's something to keep in mind. And if you ask your doctor, sure, he will tell you that. Not that you shouldn't get one, but that you should consider the side effect. They will admit what the side effect is. As far as the prevention of the flu, first let me talk to you about how widespread the flu is. It is in various parts of the country a serious problem, and in other parts not so serious. Here in Arizona, or as we call it, Azarona, there are schools that have closed because a high percentage of the student body have had the flu, and administrators have, wisely in my opinion, closed the school down so there can be less contact among the students and therefore less spreading of the virus. And that gets me to the prevention issue. Influenza is a virus. Antibiotics won't do you any good unless you get a secondary infection from the flu. And if that secondary infection is bacteriological, that's what antibiotics fight. But they won't fight a virus. Though there are antiviral drugs, they are rarely given for the flu. But you can, of course, as you know, get vaccine. One way to prevent getting the flu is to prevent the virus from getting into your cells. And one way of doing that is by taking vitamin C. You need to build up to taking vitamin C in large frequency, but pretty much everyone, unless you have kidney disease, can take at least 500 or 1,000 each morning, the same amount at night, and the same amount at noon. If it bothers your stomach, you can cut back your frequency. But if it doesn't, you may wish to increase your frequency slowly over time. Speak to a natural healthcare provider to discuss how best to do that. But most will recommend that you do take vitamin C with frequency because the human body can't produce it, and you don't get a lot of it from oranges and orange juice. There's nothing wrong with oranges and orange juice, but you would have to drink a load of it to get as much vitamin C as is in one 1,000 milligram pill or tablet. So what occurs is if you take the vitamin C, it's more difficult for the virus, A, to get into your cells in the first place, and B, if they do, to replicate as much as is necessary for the virus to replicate to make you or keep you sick. So if you can take enough vitamin C to help prevent it, do it after speaking to your healthcare provider. And if not, and you do get the flu, take it then because it will tend to shorten the duration of the bug. If you want to talk about that or politics, feel free to do that, of course, and the number is 347-994-3796. We'll be joined in about 15 minutes by our guest, Michelle Glicksman, editor of Scottsdale Health Magazine. We'll talk more about her and about the magazine when she joins us. Wanted to tell you about another promotion, and that is Mobile Millionaire, which is the book I've written about mobile home investment. If you think you'd like to look at some excerpts and find out something about that investment, which can be done very inexpensively, and should you read my book, you will find out that you don't have to do anything with me after reading the book in terms of making that investment. I'm not selling the investment. I am, however, offering the book. If you'd like to read excerpts, see what you can learn from those, and decide whether you want the book or not, the website can be reached by going to tinyurl.com. tinyurl is, of course, one word, .com/mobilemillionaire, as if it were one word. So it's www, if you insist, tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire. Enjoy the ride. As we go forward, we also have some news of the weird, which comes to us through the website, newsoftheweird.com, which I recommend to you as something I think you might well enjoy. The first story that we're going to talk about was occurred in Houston about a month and a half ago. A gentleman named George Vera weighs nearly 600 pounds, and he was booked into the jail there and was in custody for a little over 24 hours, at which time he casually informed the police officers that they had missed finding a weapon on him, a 9mm handgun and two clips of ammunition that were hidden the rolls of fat around his stomach. This proves something I say every weekend when I go to a salad bar, which is there are some people who just shouldn't eat at a buffet. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, and if you're overweight, I apologize if this sounds like I'm criticizing you or making fun of you. I am not. But I go into salad bars, sometimes with my wife, sometimes with a friend, and one of the things that you tend to notice is that people who are heavy tend to get things at the salad bar, like baked potatoes, which is fine. Baked potato has very few calories. But they then load it first with a lot of butter, then with sour cream, then with cheese, then with, I don't know, bacon bits, and you kind of have a feeling that the next morning they're, or the next week, they're saying to their friend, I don't know why I didn't lose weight, I hit the salad bar. Clearly what you eat is more important than where you go, but it just seems to be a conflict and a contradiction. And speaking of that, wanted to mention to you as well that if you should come down with the flu, I'd like to recommend something else for your consideration, which is that you consider taking, now I can't remember what it's called, purple coneflower is the plant from which it comes. There is an herb, echinacea, that you take echinacea. The spelling on that is E-C-H-I-N-A-C-E-A. As well as garlic. Both are both antiviral, and they're also antibacterial. If you can consume those, they would also help defeat a virus should you contract one. Something to consider, not just now in terms of this flu epidemic, but also when you just get a normal flu or a cold. Those things will help you both with the secondary infections and with the virus. More than antibiotics will in the latter case, because antibiotics, as we said a moment ago, and as many people already know, will not help you with a virus. So that, again, is something for you to consider. We wanted to also talk to you about another unusual item in the news. But before we do that, I wanted to tell you about a T-shirt shop online. Zazzle.com is a website on which you can buy and sell T-shirts, bumper stickers, all kinds of things. If you should go to Zazzle.com/mobile and peculiar, you will also see a website on which we have some T-shirts available. Many of them are political, some of them are spiritual, all of them are whimsical, Think you might find it amusing. I will tell you of one T-shirt. It says on it, on the front, stimulus package, see below. I'll let you figure that out if it isn't too obvious. And you can find many others. And again, that site is Zazzle.com/mobileandpeculiar. Giving out the phone number again, as I'm being reminded to do by our producer, Autumn Bushman, who is finished eating her kibbles earlier. The phone number is 347-994-3796. I'd like to know what you've been reading and what you found interesting on the web, if you if you're aware of any interesting sites for our listeners to visit. You might want to join us at that number and clue us in to what you've been reading. I'll mention something that I've been reading, a book called Don't Worry, Make Money. It was written by a gentleman named Richard Carlson, a name that may be familiar to some of you, for two reasons. First, a number of years ago when I was a child, there was an actor performing by that name, and kind of a level B actor. He was in a lot of older movies, pretty good actor, but not a star in the sense that, say, Spencer Tracy was or Robert Taylor in terms of actors of that era. But in any event, that was that's the one Richard Carlson. Another one is not another one, but the one who wrote the book that I was just discussing wrote a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and added in It's All Small Stuff in the subtitle. That was a very good and very popular book, and now a couple of years ago he also wrote, as I said, Don't Worry, Make Money. Very good book, very interesting, and will tell you how to, you know, basically calm down, and that will allow you to become more successful. We have a caller. It may be our guest. I can't tell. Let's try it. And in a moment, are you there?
I'm here.
Is this Michelle?
Yes, it is. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Well, first, let's go ahead and do what amount to disclosures. I write a column for Michelle's magazine on the subject which, as I shared with our guest a couple of weeks ago, demonstrates the folly of the concept of write what you know, since I write about a subject about which I know no more than anyone else, which is sex. And they title my column Scottsdale Sexpert. Michelle, tell us. Michelle is the editor of the magazine. Tell us what Scottsdale Health Magazine sets out to do first, if you would.
Sure. Scottsdale Health is a fitness and wellness publication for people in the Scottsdale Paradise Valley area. It's for people of all ages, men and women. And basically, we promote a healthy lifestyle, and that's everything from relationships to nutrition and to actual fitness routines.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned it's for people in those areas, but anyone in the world can actually access the magazine and read parts of it online.
Absolutely, yes. We do talk.
Go ahead with the website.
The website is www.allyouneedforhappiness.com, mm-hmm. and our entire publication is available online, so you can read the entire thing there and all of our back issues as well. And we do talk about a lot of national issues and what's going on in all of those fields, so it's a very good read.
It is indeed. Now, when and I say that, by the way, not just because I write for the magazine, but also because there are lots of interesting things on the subjects you mentioned throughout the magazine. And frankly, even the ads are fun to read. That may sound odd, but they really are, because they're colorful. They have a lot of the look and feel of the magazine in terms of the editorial content is also in the ads.
It's not like a disruption. Yeah, we're kind of very hip and edgy, so you'll find a lot of humor in our advertising. And of course, we do have a great column, our Scottsdale Sexpert, as you mentioned.
Well, thank you very much. I'm trying to look humble here. You can't see me, fortunately. But that's very kind. Thank you. But the other question I have for you is the magazine is not of the type that is on newsstands everywhere and is charged for. The magazine is distributed as a free publication, right?
It is distributed as a free publication. It's blanketed throughout the Scottsdale and Paradise Valley communities, and then as well it is available online. But yes, it is a free distribution model.
Right, and I was going to ask you, why was that chosen?
You know, different publications just choose different distribution models. Subscription publications, and we do offer subscriptions to that magazine as well for people who don't want to go out and look for it. But subscription magazines, there's no real benefit except for the reader. A company doesn't make any money off of a subscription or anything like that. And in producing this magazine, we just felt that the way to reach more people was really to do it via free rack distribution type of a model.
And that's kind of become a trend too, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
Free distribution. There's a for those who are not local, there is a local, geographically local newspaper in the eastern part of the valley, which includes Phoenix. The eastern part of the valley has a newspaper that used to be just a regular daily newspaper you would buy on a rack and so forth, that is now distributed free on the days it's actually printed. Many days it's just, I'm referring, of course, to the East Valley Tribune, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's now distributed as a free, non-charge publication as well. But that's happening throughout the country as well.
Just depending on the type of publication you have, it's a great way to reach a lot of people. Obviously, if you have a publication that's for a very specific niche and you only want to reach those people, then a subscription makes a lot of sense. But if you,
sure,
know, if you want to reach everybody, it's a great way to really hit that audience.
Sure. And would it be correct to say that the advantage of distributing in that manner, also because it gets into more hands and more eyeballs are there, that you can offer a bigger audience to advertisers, which is obviously a benefit to the publication?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The question I was going to ask you is would it be correct to say that because of the way it's distributed, you don't have what I guess they call audited circulation figures? Is that correct? And can you explain what that is?
That is correct. And audited is really a term that applies. A lot of national advertising likes to see an audited publication, but auditing,
right,
really just means that they have companies that come in and verify that. Let's say you're asking us about our distribution, and we say we distribute to 25,000 people, or we print 25,000 copies. That we're not lying. They kind
right.
of verify what you are saying. There's a couple big companies that do that. So, yes,
right,
we are not an audited publication. And there are, you know, a lot of publications are not audited.
Right.
You know, and really that's something that mostly affects your advertising. So,
yeah, and in fact, most of the big ones are not audited circulation, for that matter. There are relatively few that are.
Yeah, I would say it's mixed. It's very mixed.
Right, right. And tell me about slush piles. Do you get a lot of things that are submitted to you, quote-unquote, over the transom from freelance writers?
Not as much as used to. I've been in this business for about – I've been running magazines for about 15 years, and I think that things are changing a lot. People aren't really submitting as many just stories. You have a lot of publicists pitching ideas, and those I do get a lot
right.
of. You have a lot of press releases coming across your desk. I run two magazines. I probably get about 600 a day. But, you know, in terms of people just submitting things that they want me to take a look at to try and publish, not as much as it used to be. It's really dropped off. I think that with emails and everything now, it's easier for someone to dash off a note and say, hi,
sure.
is this something you'd be interested in, and give me a line, than actually write something that, you know, ends up in a slush pile.
Right, and you're referring to what they used to call a query letter.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But it's now done by email. You mentioned that there's a second magazine that you publish. Tell us about that.
I'm the editor-in-chief of So Scottsdale and Scottsdale Health Magazines, and both are owned by Richmond Media Group, and we also do have
right.
a third publication called Go Gilbert, which is in Gilbert, community magazine in Gilbert. The two that I run besides Scottsdale Health is So Scottsdale. It's a women's beauty, fashion, and luxury lifestyle publication. and it's been around for about 4 years. Both of them, actually, all of our magazines are monthly. And,
right.
They're all very well known and very well read, and we're very proud of all of them.
Yeah, well, you may find this hard to believe, but you've kind of described the reason for it, but I've actually never read So Scottsdale.
come on.
I'm probably not the target market for that for some reason. I don't know why.
It is directed more towards women, so I'll give you a pass on that one.
Thank you very much. And the other one, Go Gilbert, which is not something you run. Gilbert is another community in the Eastern Valley of the Sun. And that is a community magazine, but that doesn't have a niche like Scottsdale Health. Is that correct?
They're all very different.
Right.
Go Gilbert really focuses on the community of Gilbert, the people that are in Gilbert. Very, very small community type of a feel magazine. Not that it's a small community, but it promotes that small town feel that that people really want. Tell
sure.
stories about people in the community. So Scottsdale deals with national trends and products and things like that, but then brings it back to the community. We talk about things that are local, but that are following some national trends. So we take all the national and bring it into the community in order to promote the community.
Mm-hmm.
But that publication does have, it's not as much of a community type of a magazine. It's more women's fashion, beauty, luxury type of a feel to it. And then
right.
Scottsdale Health is a community magazine in that we do highlight some people in the community. We show
sure.
some very fit people, things like that. But we also do talk about a lot of national health news and just general nutrition and fitness stories.
And it's really very much a service magazine in the sense that there are service articles about how to lose weight. And you had a series of articles about some people who got together or competed against one another in one sense to see who, kind of like the Biggest Loser concept.
Right, right.
But
we actually
really
are
wasn't.
Doing that again.
Okay. But I was going to say, it really wasn't competitive in a brutal sense. It was just more comparison and seeing what people were doing. And in fact, I think one of the guys discovered, or I think it was a guy, maybe it was one of the women, discovered they had some kind of health problem, if I recall, as a result of the participating.
Yes, actually, it's a competition that we run.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we are actually doing a casting for it coming up shortly for our next round. But we pick a few people in the community who are looking to lose weight, and we have trainers that work with them 4 to 5 times a week. They get nutrition advice, things like that. And, we do try to see who can lose the most weight. They have about 4 months to do it. But
right.
it's really about turning their lives around. And the person that you are referring to, Jason, was one of our contestants this past time, and he was very overweight, actually, and was he restricted his diet, was following all the nutritional advice. He was working out 4 to 5 times a week, sometimes more, and he wasn't losing any weight. In fact, he actually put some on, and it got to the point where his trainers were so concerned, because really, if you're following everything, you should, in theory, lose weight.
Absolutely.
And so they did send him to the doctor, and they did, unfortunately, find out that he had that there was something wrong with him, and it wasn't a good situation. But the good news is that because of the competition, they were able to find it. Otherwise, he wouldn't
right.
have even known, and the condition would have progressed and progressed. So hopefully, he caught it in time. But
right.
But it was an interesting lesson to be learned that if you are doing everything right, and your body just isn't changing, or you just something's not right, go to the doctor, because you never know what's
yeah.
going on inside.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but I am a big loser. there's a sentence you never expect someone to say. Yeah, I'm a major loser. I was at one point up at 192 pounds, and I'm now basically about 130.
Oh wow!
And I'm not exactly tall. I'm 5'5", and so which, by the way, is average height in America for women. But anyway. But the reason I'm mentioning that is because when someone knows you and knows that you've gone through that, they start to talk to you about their diet and about their exercise. And one of the things that I have often heard, and I don't know if you have because of your position in the magazine, is that, well, diets don't work for me. No matter what I do, I can't lose weight.
I've heard that. I think I've occasionally said it myself. But in general, if that is something that you're finding over and over, then you do need to be checked out. Because if you're doing everything right and you're not losing weight, then something generally is wrong. And it's not something that could be terrible, just maybe, you know, a hormone that's off or something like that. But
or food allergies, for that matter.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, either that or, you know, some people say that, and in reality, they're really at the weight that they should be, and they're fine, mm-hmm. and their body doesn't want to lose any more weight because it shouldn't. You know, so that does happen as well. But, you know, if you are trying to lose weight and you're exercising and you're eating right and you're watching what you do, you should be able to lose weight.
There should be a result. One of the other interesting things that, again, you may have heard as well, someone will say something about, I wish I could lose weight, and I want to lose weight. I just don't want to change anything I'm doing.
Right, yeah, that doesn't work. I've tried that one also.
We all have. You know, once you reach a certain age, and I don't mean old, but I mean, once you reach a certain age, if you've had a weight problem, you've not only done it all, you've certainly said it all. And when you look back, it's hard to believe that you were once that, you know, silly, you know, if you're at the right weight, that you were silly enough to think you could, you know, just wish it away or not change anything and have a different effect.
Right, and you know, and it does get harder as you get older, unfortunately, that cliche does hold true. So, and we do all tend to put on weight as we get older, but your metabolism does start slowing down, you know, when you hit your late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, well, I'm well beyond that, and you know, I haven't, you know, I find it something I have to keep watching, but I mean, it's not something that I found more difficult with age. It actually became easier, and that may be peculiar. But.
Well, no, I mean, you should always be able to do it, but you know, it's not like when you're, you know, 18 and you can, you know, drop 5 pounds in, you know, a couple of days, and it's
right.
You know, really easy. It's interesting. I recently interviewed Valerie Bertinelli, who obviously has lost
sure.
a lot of weight very publicly, you know, and
mm-hmm.
she was saying that, you know, at her age, I think she's 49 now.
Just a kid.
Yeah.
yeah.
And she was saying that, you know, I'm a perfect example that I'm supposed to be at the time of life when it's the hardest to lose weight. And look at me, I did it. So it's not that you can't do it. It's just you have to put your mind to it and be aware of what you're doing.
Right.
You know, and then you can come out looking like her.
Well, as opposed to, I can't think of her name. Well, see, I told you I'm not as young as 49. The lady who was the spokesperson for that company before Valerie Bertinelli.
Are you talking about, I think, Kirstie Alley?
Kirstie Alley, yes,
yeah,
that's exactly
right.
She went
back the other way. But
yeah,
you know, that
it's a shame.
Too. It's hard. It is hard to keep it off. You know, we all like to eat, right?
Well, it's not just that, but I mean, you know, I mentioned food allergies, and, you know, food allergies, you know, I'm no doctor, but food allergies create an addiction to the food that we're allergic to, and food allergies often relate to obesity,
mm-hmm.
Or cause it, and so it may be that she just couldn't resist X, whatever X is for her, in terms of foods, and, you know, she started eating it, and that makes you eat more and more and more, not just of that, but of everything else, and yeah, it is a battle. On an ongoing basis for a lot of people. It's an addiction, you know, and it's those things are tough to beat. So you said you've been in the magazine editing business for a number of years. Have you edited any other well-known magazines?
I've worked in a number of different magazines throughout my career.
Mm-hmm.
I've run an industry publication for the event industry.
Uh-huh.
And run another business publication here in town in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Right.
You know, so as well as a couple of other publications. So I've had various experiences, and all of them wonderful.
That's great. So I mean, it's one of those things where you really, really like what you do.
I do.
Well, that, you know, not everybody can say that. You know, I like a number of the things that I do as well, but it's one of those things where. Most people indicate that the jobs that they have, they don't like. In fact, I think you ran something in the publication that was talking about that.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you a whole lot more than that because it's a vague memory, but most people don't enjoy their work. And
unfortunately,
that's a terrible way to go to work.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's very true.
Yeah. By the way, let me give out the phone number in case somebody would like to speak with you. On this show, we tend not to get a lot of calls. We do tend to get some sometimes, but not always. The number is 347-994-3796. And our guest, let me restate, is Michelle Glicksman of Richmond Media, and specifically Scottsdale Health, which is why we were talking to her, because I do write a column for her. And let me restate also the website if you're interested in seeing the magazine, not because of me, Lord knows, but the magazine generally, which is a very high-quality publication, in spite of the fact they have me in it. And you can see that
you
website.
Do a great column.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, she had to say that, everybody. Don't worry about it. The website is allyouneedforhappiness.com. Do you find that that there's a lot of interest in bodybuilding in terms of either the magazine or what you hear back?
You know, it's interesting that you say that. We did just do a cover and feature story on a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely an interest for it. There are a lot of people, in fact, when researching the story, I found out that there's a lot more people than you're really aware of who are very into bodybuilding, and there's figure championships for women, and there are actually a lot of people that are involved with that, yes.
Hmm. Well, you're right. I am surprised. But I shouldn't be. One of the things I was going to say is when I go into a vitamin store, one of the things that I notice, it's not something I have any interest in. I'm a runner, actually, and therefore not a bodybuilder, because those two things are at opposite ends of the
right.
spectrum in terms of what you do. But the thing I found is that there are a lot of there's whole sections of supplements that are intended to be for people who are into muscle building, and I couldn't even tell you the substances. Creatine, I think, is one of them, and I don't remember any others. But you know, non-steroidal supplements, herbal supplements, or vitamin supplements that you can take with the goal of being able to build muscle faster.
From what I understand from researching it, yes, it's an entire regimen of, you know, a very, very restricted and specific diets and, you know, time training, as well as, yes, a lot of supplements.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting world, and there are a lot of people who are involved with it.
Yeah. When you, I assume you go to a gym with probably some frequency. But one of the things is that, you know, you see a lot of people on the treadmills, a lot of people on the bikes, but you see some people, some of them are really, you know, big folks, both men and women, who have been working at weight machines and lifting free weights. But every time you go, there's just a lot of people who are doing that. I mean, mm-hmm. lending credence to what you're saying.
Right, yeah.
It's amazing. And you have featured some of that, as you say, in the magazine, in terms of the bodybuilding.
We did. It was a story that we did cover. We tried to pick some interesting segments, find some interesting people who are doing interesting things and feature them, you know, one main person a month. So 1 month we did feature bodybuilding, did a feature mm-hmm. story on that as our main feature. And, you know, we've had some very interesting people. We had a nationally ranked tennis player. This month,
right.
our cover actually that comes out tomorrow is one of the Arizona Cardinals football players. You know, so we do try to focus on different aspects of some athletic ability. We've even done like lifeguards over the summer, talking about
right.
You know,
I remember
what they
that.
What they need to do to stay fit and save lives, and we just try to find some interesting stories.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed is you have an article each month on an individual person who talks about their own training schedule. I mean, this is not necessarily the world's biggest bodybuilder or the fastest runner or anything like that. It's just a person in the community that you write about. And I don't know if it was last month or the month before, you wrote about a woman, and she was talking about the kind of man she was looking for, among other things, in the profile.
That would be our solo Scottsdale section, yes. We feature one single each month, and then people can write in to meet that person, which is at their discretion. But, you know, we think that relationships are a big part of your wellness as well. So
oh, yeah.
We do, you know, that is a section that we have also.
Do you get a lot of responses to those things?
We do, actually, yes, and we've had quite a few matches. I think in a couple of months I'm going to do a retrospective of who did find a mate from that
group. That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
Really would.
I've heard we've had some good matches, so that would be a nice follow up.
How funny. Yeah, that's I'm glad for them, and it's not the kind of thing I would have imagined occurs, but I figured what might happen outside of that is someone might have looked somebody up that they thought was interesting and, contacted them separately, but I didn't know that you were getting the responses there and seeing if somebody was interested in what's the term, hooking up.
It's a different world nowadays, and people are meeting people, in all different formats. So it seems to be working. Yeah, and
there's
wonderful.
I know of two couples who got to, well, actually three. Well, one of them didn't work out, but but two couples who met each other through Craigslist.
Wow.
And one of the women told me that there's even a T-shirt that she's seen around that said, "I met my boyfriend on Craigslist."
Wow. It's a different world, and a lot of people are turning to different venues rather than just the bar scene, but...
Well, and it makes sense on one level, because first off, what you tend to meet at bars is people who drink. But besides that, in the way that life is, you can only come into contact with so many people. And so if you want to broaden your horizon, as it were, one way of doing it is through the kind of media that we're talking about, either having yourself featured in a magazine like Scottsdale Health or advertising on Craigslist. But, or something like that, or all of those matching sites, which I guess cost money. It's just the nature of life. I guess everybody's into marketing on one level or another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's ahead, first off, for the magazines? I mean, other than I assume that they're going to continue what they're doing and try to grow. Is there anything else new on the horizon you wanted to share with us that people can partake of?
We are just going to continue to grow. We just expanded. So Scottsdale, we did a revamp. Our revamped issue will be out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Basically, we just changed the look of it a little bit. A lot of magazines do that, every so often just to keep it fresh. So we did do that, and we did expand it a little bit, added in some new sections, grew it a little bit. And Scottsdale Health, we just plan to keep growing it and keep publishing and getting some great information out there as well.
Good. Is there a website for So Scottsdale?
Yes, and So Scottsdale is just www.soscottsdale.com.
Which you have to admit was very cleverly named.
Well, we like to think so, but...
tell us about your writing. Obviously, you write for the magazines.
I do. Been a writer for a very long time, and as well as now, obviously an editor. I write a lot of the stories in the magazines, and I don't know, what do you want to know?
Well, what other kinds of writing have you done? Have you done primarily magazine writing? Have you written any books? Or are you working on anything? Or is it primarily the editorial material in the magazines which you edit?
I've actually done everything. I started out in television news, so I did a lot of script writing.
Wow.
I've done a lot of advertising, copywriting. I've done a lot of work for companies, just helping them write materials, letters, website content, things like that. Obviously, mm-hmm. a lot of what I do is magazine writing. I did write a book for a movie company. I don't believe it's been published yet, but they hired me to take a script and turn it into a novel, so I did do that.
Very good.
I'm kind of very well-versed in all things writing.
That's great. Let me ask you the stupid question of the day.
I mean, no questions
beyond
right?
Yeah, right. Well, you haven't heard my questions, but except for the ones we've already done. No, but when I say that, it's because it's not so much stupid as cliched. And that is, if someone is listening who writes but wants to break into publication, since you've had that experience, mm-hmm. what would you actually advise?
It depends what.
I know that puts you on the spot.
Oh, not at all. I think it's a great question, actually. It really depends on what aspect of writing they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And I say that because coming into magazine writing from doing something completely different, like if you've only been an ad copywriter is completely different. You need to know how to interview somebody, how to take that interview and turn it into a story, how to pick which quotes you want to include and structure that within the story. However, that said, writing skills are very
transferable.
I'm a writer and I can't think of the word, but you know, they're very applicable in many different forms.
Right.
It's very easy to, if you're a good writer, you can generally just learn what you need to apply those skills in a different manner. If somebody's looking to break into magazines, there's a couple of good ways. You know, go to your magazine company, say, can I try a story for you? You know, no charge, let me just try it, see what I can do. Or write something and submit it to somebody and say, you know, is this something that you are interested in? What can I do to make it better? Another great thing is internships. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the industry, you know, or a related industry. If it's something you want to break into, internships are a great way to start out because you're being taught something. You're doing it while being taught, and that's a great way. I started out with internships. A lot of my writers started out actually as my interns with, you know, the publications I've worked with, and then we've established a great relationship, and I keep them on as writers. You know, that's really how to get your feet wet.
And in terms of submitting something to a publisher, there's a somewhere in this world listening to this, either as we're doing the show or in archive, there's some 16-year-old kid who wants to write for magazines and eventually write a book, and they need to find a magazine that they'd be interested in writing for. They know they can write or think they can. Although these days anyone who can type thinks they can write, that's another story. Anyway, do you have a suggestion as to how they would, you know, beyond what you said about entering, how they'd find the publication to either intern for or to submit a story or article on speculation?
You know, really look at what you know. You know, if you're into fashion, search, you know, go onto Google and search fashion magazines. See what's near you. You know, a lot of smaller magazines are a better way to start out than, let's say you're interested in fashion. You know, don't necessarily go to Vogue first or Glamour first. You know, find a more local publication that might be more willing to work with you and start there. So just, you know, the Internet's a wonderful thing. You know, when I started in this business, I shouldn't even say this, but we weren't even using computers to do research. You were finding your story, and had to go out and gather the information from your sources. Now you type up whatever you need, and up comes everything. You can get background on your sources or find a lot of interesting things that, you know, for stories. But use that to just find what you like. You know, if you're interested in some small segment of something, search it and find what publications are, you know, writing about that.
Yeah, let me add something that you're familiar with, I'm sure, but not thinking of at the moment because we are talking about modern ways of doing something. I'm sure they're still publishing Writer's Market, which is a publication that comes out annually and is produced by Writer's Digest. I assume you have some familiarity with that from days past, if not currently.
A little bit, yes, not too much.
Yeah. Well, because you were already probably working in magazines, so you didn't, you know, you weren't doing a lot of freelance submissions at that juncture, right?
But
Writer's Market is something that's available, comes out once a year, and through that you can also find magazines, because it's different from doing an Internet search, which is extraordinarily valuable, and what you said is certainly good advice. But also the Writer's Market will kind of segment by subject and then tell someone what it is the editors are saying they need.
There are a lot of sites like that, actually. There's also Cision.
Mm-hmm, sure. There's what?
It's called Cision. C-I-S-I-O-N. And it's a great site as well. A lot of public relations people use it. It lists all of the editors' publications. You can search by any kind of criteria. There are a couple of services that are like that. I know Writer's Market, I believe, still does everything. The only problem, and not to knock them at all, I think what they do is wonderful. Nowadays, the world is changing so fast, though. You know, an editor who was there yesterday might not be there tomorrow, that kind of thing. So it's very difficult, or publication for that matter, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but...
But the good news is that new ones are springing up, too, so...
That is true.
Which doesn't eliminate the problem you mentioned. In fact, it's just another example of it.
Right. It's hard to kind of keep up with who's where and what's happening in the industry. But there are a lot of sites like that they are usually subscription, but, you can subscribe and find out, you know, changes day to day.
Yes, of course. And again, the suggestion you made before is the best one, which is, you know, using Google to do a search for the kind of subject you're interested in. And, you know, just look at, you know, you use fashion, let's say fashion magazine as a Google search. You'll come up with a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find the publication that you're interested in possibly writing for. But the interning idea is not something I've ever heard before. I know that may sound odd to you, but it's not something I've ever heard before, and obviously is a great idea, especially if someone is not in a position where they have to support a family because there's little or no income from that.
Right.
Correct?
Right, and you know, yeah. That's a wonderful way, and that's how most people do start out. You know, and a lot of, if you're a college student, a lot of schools do partner with a lot of publications or different type of companies to offer internships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really one of the best ways to break in is to call somebody, you know, call a publication that, newspaper, whether it's a newspaper, magazine, whatever, and just say, I'm really interested. Do you have an internship program or are you looking for an intern? You know, I mm-hmm. volunteer to be an intern for 3 months or 6 months or whatever
right.
it is.
Yeah, and since you're costing them little or nothing, they're obviously not going to necessarily be unwilling unless you're, you know, obviously not suited to it.
Right, right. I mean, usually they do look for skills because it does take time to kind of teach
right.
somebody,
that,
you know, what to do. But, yeah, and some internships do pay. So, you
okay.
know, it's obviously probably not as much as a job, but, you
right.
know, but it is.
But you're getting something else in exchange.
Right, right.
Which is knowledge and experience and contacts.
Right, absolutely.
Right. Okay. Well, I am going to let you go because we're down to about 3 minutes. I know the time has flown for me. I can't make that comment for you.
It was
but,
wonderful to be with you.
Ditto, and I really appreciate it. And although we got no calls, there are, as I say, there are people who do listen to this. I'm sure you told some folks as well as the people that you know that would tune in otherwise. And anyone can listen to it in archive as well. So you can let people know how wonderful you were on the air.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it. And again, real quickly for Scottsdale Health Magazine, if anyone's interested, it's allyouneedforhappiness.com. Right?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks again. We'll talk
All
to you
right.
soon.
Have a good
Bye-bye. Day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You too. Bye-bye. And for those of you who are with us, we have about 3 minutes left. If you wish to call, you're welcome to do that, of course. And the number is, let me tell it to you for next week. We'll be back on blogtalkradio.com / Jeff-Bushman, just where you tuned to this week. And you can call us next week at 347-994-3796. I want to thank Michelle Glicksman, who made the show. And it was I know that the rest of you found that at least as interesting as I did. Hope you do go to the website, see the magazine, and enjoy that as well. Next week, as I was starting to say, we'll be back at 8 p.m. Pacific time. I should add, by the way, until the change takes place on daylight saving, which is next month. Arizona is on the same time as Pacific, though it is technically in the mountain zone. And so when that changes, we will, in fact, be in the mountain zone, oddly enough. Since Arizona doesn't follow daylight saving. In the time remaining, let me invite you again to tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire along with jeffonblogging.blogspot.com. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you likewise join us next week. And as they used to say in the old supermarket commercial, feel free to tell a friend. And we'd be pleased to have you and have you call. Next week we have a guest by the name of Rob Trigg, who used to be a disc jockey here in town and is also more nationally known as a voiceover performer. He also helps people write and create radio advertising. So I think you'll find that interesting. You've got a great sense of humor. And you can tune us in next week, same bat time, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern. I hope you join us then. And in the remaining seconds, just to review Take your vitamin C, and if necessary, your echinacea. I didn't mention golden seal. Let me do that now. Do check with your primary healthcare provider to verify that that would be safe for you in connection with any prescription drugs you're taking, naturally. But beyond that, if that's not a problem, something you should stock up on, some things you should stock up on so that you're prepared should the flu hit your household. Again, thank you. We will be back next week. The only reason I continue to say that is because we are running out of time and I don't want to leave dead air. So join us. We'll have more news of the weird. We'll have a guest. We'll have politics. Join us then. Thank you.